very much. Upcoming musician. Well, not upcoming. They are musicians, right? They know much further than I would ever be. So praise the Lord. Amen. It's exciting to see our young people and whoever else just participating and learning and growing. You know, it has a tremendous part of a worship service to be able to have instruments playing. It really adds. And so praise the Lord. So grateful for what God is doing. All right, don't want to take any more time. It's time to hear what God has put on Brother Sinclair's heart. And Brother, why don't you come, and don't forget about those questions. Be ready to ask those.
Well, this may be our last public opportunity to say thank you to everybody for the tremendous hospitality that you have demonstrated to us in these this short weekend that we've been with you. It has been a tremendous blessing. We got back to the camper there, and I was looking through all those gift cards again, and what a blessing. It's just a tremendous outpouring of love and encouragement to us to keep on keeping on, and I'm so, so grateful for that. Thank you very, very much. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans. I told you we were going to go to Philippians tonight, but let me give a little introduction here, all right? I'd like to share some things and kind of give a setting, and we will eventually end in Philippians and spend the rest of our time there. But in Romans chapter 10, we have I already told you Romans 5:8 was my favorite verse in Romans, and I have so many favorite verses that these are some of my favorite verses in Romans chapter 10, and if you're like me, you probably memorized these verses when you were quite young. Maybe if you memorize the Romans Road or something like that. But in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, let me just pick up in verse 12. Romans 10, 12. The Bible says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be," what's that last word? Sent. Except they be sent. If I ask you tonight, what is a missionary? Well, we know what a missionary does, but the word missionary is not a word we find in the Bible because it's a Latin word, all right? And it literally means a sent one. A missionary is a sent one. In Greek, the word we get our word apostle, all right, literally means a sent one. And so the apostles were missionaries. They were sent ones. Jesus said to the disciples, the apostles, "Even as God has sent me, even so send I you." And they became the original set of missionaries that were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this passage talks about those who have yet to hear the gospel around the world. And how will they hear? Well, they need a preacher. Well, how will they preach except they be sent? Somebody needs to send missionaries, sent ones, around the world. Every child of God, every believer is commanded and expected to be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses." Once the Holy Spirit comes, and he has come, and when he fills a believer, that believer wants to be a witness. Look at the scriptures. Just go through the book of Acts and see when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, what they do. They always go out with boldness proclaiming the gospel. That's what they do every single time as you read through the book of Acts. But then there are some, all of us are to be witnesses, but then there are some who are sent ones. These flags around the room are representative of missionaries who are sent. Maybe your church has sent missionaries to these countries. I see Uganda over here, and I know you all support the Risingers and different ones. I don't know what missionaries you all send to some of these other countries, but there are missionaries that are sent to these countries. Now, let's have a word of prayer as we continue, and then I'll comment on one more verse here in Romans, and then we'll get to Philippians, as I promised. All right, let's pray together. Father, we do ask you to to bless and use our time this evening. Pastor has said this can be an informal time. It's a time where I would just like to go through Philippians and discover or reveal some things that I have learned and that others have learned, and hopefully all of us will learn by the end of this evening. And I pray, God, that you would really meet with us and challenge us, and then bless the time perhaps of questions and answers, and may it be a blessing to each of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as was introduced this morning, you all understand there's a display table back there for Baptist World Mission, and I'm the executive director of Baptist World Mission. Well, what does a mission agency do? When we look at the book of Acts, we see that God called Barnabas and Saul at that time, all right, Barnabas and Saul, to the work that God had called them to do. And God called them, by the Holy Spirit called them, and then the church recognized God's calling. And so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sent them, and the local church, it says there, the church in Antioch, sent out these missionaries, sent ones. They were sent ones. They were missionaries sent out by their local church. Well, what does a mission agency do? Well, I shared some of that this morning. Well, why do missionaries, like you've had come this month, and I see some of the prayer letters, Pastor was telling us the Okados came through and shared their missionaries with Baptist World Mission, who just arrived in Japan. Was it last month or the month before? I think it was last month. They just arrived there in Japan. And they did this ministry for 2 years called Deputation. All right? And some missionaries are like, oh, Deputation. And some people are like, oh, Deputation was amazing. I met some of my best friends, my lifelong friends I met during Deputation. And there's a lot of opinions. And I've actually heard a missionary say to me one time, oh, Deputation, that is just some man-made thing that somebody made up, Baptist made up, or somebody made up. And oh, I really don't like doing Deputation, but it's really the only thing out there to get to the field. And it was almost like a drudgery. And I'm like, well, my Bible talks about Deputation. And he's like, well, what? And I want us to see some of that just to be an encouragement. This is an educational time tonight, right? Turn with me over in Romans chapter 15, all right? Here in Romans chapter 15, in my book back there on the table, I've highlighted from the scriptures at least 9 churches that partnered or supported the Apostle Paul and his missionary team in missions as their missionary. At least 9, because one passage talks about, Paul says, I robbed other churches, and I don't know how many churches that were supporting him in that situation there that were supporting him in a ministry where he was receiving nothing from the people there in Corinth, but he was ministering to them and serving them by the support of other churches. And I want you to notice in Romans chapter 15, Paul in Romans chapter 15 is burdened by God to take the gospel to Spain. Now, he's already been a missionary for quite some time, but he is writing to this church in Rome. By the way, this is a church that he's never been to, all right? Sometimes a missionary will call your pastor and he'll say, hey, pastor, God has called me to this particular country. And maybe pastor's thinking, I don't even know who you are. Where are you from, you know? That's kind of what was going on here. Not that they didn't know who Paul was, but he had never been to this church. This was a cold call, all right? And he's writing this letter to them, and look at what he says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 24. The Bible says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now that phrase there, brought on my way thitherward, is just one word in the original language, and it has the idea of coming alongside, partnering to be brought on my way thitherward. As the missionary goes, he's trusting that the church in Rome is going to support him and partner with him in that ministry. This word is found 8 times in the New Testament, and all 8 times it's talking about partnering with missionaries and being a part of that sending process of missionaries. This is deputation. Paul's called to a country. He's contacting this church, and he's trusting that that church is going to partner with him to bring him on his way to send him to to Spain. Look at verse 28, same chapter, Romans 15, verse 28. Here it is again. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. There it is again. To be brought on the way. I'm trusting that you are going to partner with me to take the gospel to this foreign country of Spain. And that's exactly what missionaries often do today. They contact churches, they inform them that God has called them to a particular country, and then they inquire, or they leave a long pause on the phone. Would you be interested in having me and my family come in and present our ministry, our calling? That's really what Romans is all about. Have you ever thought about that? This is one of the reasons Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, is this deputation that he's doing right here. You know, sometimes missionaries will send out a packet of information. This is Paul's packet of information right here. That's why it's so rich in the gospel, right? He doesn't have a doctrinal statement. He's writing it to them in this powerful, rich letter called Romans. He's giving them his doctrinal statement. He's telling them, this is the gospel that I preach when I go out to Spain or wherever. This is the gospel that I preach. And this is Paul's introductory letter to a church, a deputation church, that eventually he hopes and trusts will partner with him and take the gospel to Spain. Now, as I've promised, I've left you in suspense all this time. You can turn over to Philippians now, all right? I told you we were going there this morning, and then I've just been leaving you hanging all this time. Philippians, as I said this morning, is what I call an inspired prayer letter. Missionaries, each quarter at Baptist World Mission, we require our missionaries to send back quarterly prayer letters or updates, what God is doing in the ministry, in their family, and so forth. And we see these epistles in the New Testament. Many of them are Paul writing, missionary Paul, writing to some of his supporting churches. This is one of those letters. God used him and his missionary team to plant this church. And then from Philippi, they went to Thessalonica. And they went to Thessalonica to plant another church. And after Thessalonica, they continued on in their journey. And then Paul writes this letter back to this church in Philippi, which was one of those nine supporting churches, as we're going to see tonight, all right? And so what I want to explain and what I want to do is quickly go through this little epistle, this prayer letter, and show some of the things that Paul mentions or are mentioned in this letter that the church in Philippi was a good example to us of partnership with their missionary. And so if we put a title on this tonight, it's how to be a good partner with our missionaries. All right? Now there are many, many, many other ways and many other these are just some principles that are clearly seen in this passage. All right? So let's jump into this so we have plenty of time for questions if there is discussion afterwards. In Philippians chapter 1, the first thing that I see here is verses 3 through 5. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with, what's that next word? Joy. From your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Imagine Paul in bonds, right? We talked about this morning. Paul is literally in bonds. He's maybe writing this letter, moving the chain to write this letter. I have a kind of exciting imagination, all right? I don't know how it went, okay, if he dictated this or if he actually wrote some of this, but I imagine Paul dictating or writing this letter in bonds, but when he's writing to the church in Philippi, he just can't help but smile a little bit as he remembers what God did in that place that was completely, completely heathen place. Maybe he remembered Lydia, you know, when she was there by the riverside and really didn't have any direction, and he got to share the gospel with her. Maybe he thought of that guy in the prison. We don't even know his name, the Philippian jailer. Remember that? What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And maybe he remembered that woman who followed them all around and was such a nuisance, this demon-oppressed or possessed woman, and they cast out the devil that was in her, and surely she got saved and started coming to that church. And you have like what people call today the low class and the blue-collar middle-class guy in the jail, and Lydia, the seller of purple. And he thought of all these different ones in the church in Philippi, and you know what? He remembered them with joy. Now, I don't know what gift or talent that you might have, but I believe that each one of you can be a blessing to your missionaries in this way. Number one, partner with your missionaries with moral support. Moral support. That encouragement, that joy that's conveyed by a brother or sister in Christ. I remember I mentioned this morning that prayer letters are kind of like the missionaries communicating the mountaintops of life and ministry, all right? This person got saved and this exciting provision happened and this thing happened. But in between all those mountains, of course, there are what? Valleys. And we have to make an effort, maybe keeping up with missionaries on social media or make some kind of effort to be in communication with our missionaries to figure out some of those valleys as well and some of the real things that are going on, to read between the lines sometimes, and then to make an effort to be an encouragement. I remember in our church there in Chattanooga, my wife and I went there right after we graduated from college, and we got involved in the church and the Christian school that was there. And because I had graduated with a missions major, my pastor was like, hey, you must know a lot about missions. Why don't you run the missions program? Brother Zach, that's a great experience, right? And so anyway, I kind of got thrown into that. And I was the missions guy. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I needed to get to know the missionaries. I was new to the church. I needed to get to know the missionaries. And whenever the missionaries would come on furlough, we would try to get the missionaries in. And there was this one missionary. I'll just call him Legend Missionary, all right? This guy, he had been on the mission field for years, raised his family on the mission field. He had kids on the mission field, his grandkids on the mission field. I mean, just Legend Missionary, right? And he comes back on a furlough, and he connected with this guy in our church. Now, this guy had just been saved. He was literally saved that year, brand new baby Christian. But these two guys, they were about the same age. You got brand new Christian, you got Legend Missionary. Both of them had some military experience or something in the past that had kind of connected them, and they hit it off, and these guys connected. Well, Legend Missionary, he went back to the field like missionaries do, and something really sad happened. His wife on the field had a medical situation, emergency, and she passed away on the field. She died. And we were thinking, boy, that's, man, Legend Missionary, I hope when he comes through we can be an encouragement. But the guy didn't come back. He just stayed on the field. And we're like, wow. I mean, how many people, you know, that's like prophet level there, you know. The guy loses his wife and he's going out there and preaching the next day. This is amazing. Now, a normal human being, you'd expect him to come back and get some counsel and some, but this is Legend Missionary. And so we didn't think a whole lot about it. And I guess we assumed his mission agency was keeping up with them, and his mission agency probably assumed that his churches were keeping up with them. And so Legend Missionary continued on there in the field. And one day we gathered in that little church there in Chattanooga, and we gathered to pray for our missionaries. And Legend Missionary's name came up, and we said, you know, we really need to pray for him. He lost his wife some time ago, and I'm sure he's doing fine, but we should pray for him. And then Brother Walter, that guy that had connected with him, he said, we really do need to pray for him. You know, we stay in close contact and we connect regularly, and he is really depressed. I mean, he's so depressed he can't sleep at night, and he drinks himself drunk every night so he can sleep at night. And whoa, back it up, Brother Walter. What? What? Legend missionary is depressed? Is that even possible? Missionaries get depressed? What? Missionaries drinking himself to sleep at night? We were absolutely shocked. We had no idea. I mean, we thought missionaries were up here, like superhuman. Hey, missionaries need encouragement too. What a rebuke that was to us. We had no idea what was going on between those mountain peaks. I think your pastor said to mention some practical things, and I think of things that have encouraged us on the field. I think of churches that would keep track of our birthdays, our whole family, every year. They would decorate the cards, and I remember one pastor, he would sign personally those Christmas or birthday cards every year with a little message from him, and send those cards to us, and we could hardly wait to go to that, I can't even describe, I would say a post office box, but trust me, you're thinking of something very different than the post office box that I was going to, that was completely rusted, and I would hope that the key would actually open this time, and I would open that rusted post office box and hope that there was a letter from that church in Ohio, because my birthday was coming up, and they always wrote on my birthday, and they had to send it at least a month early, because it takes a long time for mail to get to Africa, and they knew that, and they planned all that out, and I think of one lady who she had an embroidery machine. I think I'm saying that right. One of those things that sews fancy pictures and labels and initials and stuff like that. And she embroidered T-shirts for everyone in our family and mailed that to us. Man, that was so cool. My kids loved those T-shirts. That was so encouraging. I think of one pastor in Georgia. Every once in a while, I remember when I got my first cell phone on the field. I could not believe it. They had no phones in Cameroon when we got there. And I mean no phones. We lived near a government center. And there were telephone poles, but there were no wires. Because when they put the wires up there the first time, they stole all the telephone wires. So they tried it again. They stole all those wires. They never put up phone lines again. And so there were telephone poles in our village, but there were no telephones. And so the years clicked by, and then all of a sudden this technology came out with cell phones. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I got one of those brick Nokia cell phones, and I put that thing in my pocket. I couldn't believe it. And I was going, and I was actually, I mentioned Pa Mbako this morning in the mess. I was actually on my way to Pa Mbako's house, and I was walking under this palm tree, and all of a sudden my phone rang. And I was like, what in the world is that? Oh yeah, I have a cell phone now. I couldn't believe it. And I took out my cell phone, and this pastor in Georgia is like, Brother Ben, can you hear me? I just wanted to call and find out how things are. I just wanted to be a blessing to you. You think that was an encouragement to me? In the middle of Africa, I couldn't believe it. It was such a blessing and encouragement. And Paul is saying to this church, I know of one thing, because we're going to see it in chapter 4, but I don't know all the other ways, but I know that when Paul remembered this church, a smile came over his face, because he said, I remember you with joy. And I want to encourage you to be a partnering kind of church that is a church that gives joy to your missionaries, whatever way it is, whatever way it is. Secondly, let's move on here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Look at this. Philippians 1, 19 says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to be a church that partners well with your missionaries, number two, in prayer, right? In prayer for your missionaries. We talked this morning about the importance of prayer. Prayer is perhaps the most overlooked component of missions, and yet it is essential. Jesus' solution, as I said this morning, to the missionary problem, the plenteous harvest problem, is in one word what? Pray. Pray. That's the solution. To pray. Hudson Taylor described the importance of prayer in missions, he put it this way. He said, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. What a profound truth that is. You can pray to the God of the universe and ask Him to fill your missionaries with the Spirit and further the gospel through them and give them much fruit. And you know what God does? He works. That's amazing. Prayer. Way too often, prayer is considered something that Christians do to help support the real work of the ministry. But prayer is ministry. We can be involved in missions through prayer. I remember I was in a church in Michigan one day, and the Sunday school class met in the gymnasium, and I remember talking about praying for missionaries and the importance and the value of prayer in missions. And I remember this old lady after the Sunday school class coming up to me. I don't know if she ever left the state of Michigan in her whole life. I don't know if she ever had a passport. I doubt she ever traveled out of the country in her life in that rural area of Michigan. But she came up to me after that Sunday school lesson. She said, "Brother Ben, thank you for that Sunday school lesson. I never realized till this morning how actively involved I've been in missions my whole life." If she's never left the state of Michigan, and yet she got a hold of the reality that when she goes to her prayer closet and prays, God works. And the mission and the commission is furthered through prayer. Every great missionary movement in history has been born out of prayer. Do you want to see a great missions movement in our day today? Then we need to pray. You recognize that the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few? Then we need to pray. Do you desire to see your missionary partners furthering the gospel around the world through this local church? You can do that through prayer. The greatest work in missions today is prayer. And the most lacking work in missions today is prayer. I believe that the power and the impact of your missions program, if I can put it that way, is directly related to the prayer life of this church. And if that is true, then much prayer equals much power. And little prayer equals little power. And no prayer equals no power. I want to encourage you to partner well with your missionaries in prayer. Paul knew that the church in Philippi was praying for him. And in this verse, he says in verse 19, "And I know God is going to answer your prayers." What a tremendous statement and confidence. Well, let's move quickly. Number three. Number one was moral support. Number two is prayer support. Number three is communication support. Look at chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Now, when I say communication support, a lot of people think, well, we need to communicate with our missionaries. And I hope you do communicate with your missionaries. I mean, I mentioned that pastor in Georgia who once every few months he would call me, and he was such a blessing to me, all right? But what Paul is talking about here is he wants communication from the church in Philippi. He wants to send Timotheus all the way to the church in Philippi so that they can send their message, their greetings, and he can get an update of what God's doing in Philippi. I wonder, with the advantages that we have today, right? I mean, we've got cell phones, we've got email. They didn't have email. Apparently they had T-mail back then. Timotheus, all right, he's sending Timotheus to come back with this correspondence, but that's way more difficult than writing a missionary and clicking send, isn't it? I mean, we have a supporting church in Indianapolis, and you know what they do? They send a prayer letter to the missionaries each month. Each month, one of the ladies in the ladies' Sunday school class takes turn, and they write a one-page letter to the missionary what God's doing at that church in Indianapolis. They talk about their kids and grandkids. They talk about a missionary that just came through. They talk about what God did in the VBS this last week. They talk about pastor just had another baby, all right? They talk about all these things going on in the church. And what a blessing and encouragement that is to us. Because we're praying for them. And if the church doesn't communicate what's going on, they're just a name on a list, right? And so that's one way to communicate. There's another church in Ohio, and another one in Ohio, and the church there, the pastor, sends out the updates on Saturday for what's going to happen the next day. I don't know how they do it on Sunday, but he sends those things out, and he includes all of the missionaries. So we can see what's coming up and what fellowship we're missing, or no. And he gives those news and those updates and those prayer requests so that we know what's going on in the church, and that's a blessing. Just a simple thing to stay in touch. Communication. Paul could hardly wait to send Timothy. Now that's someone on his team, his missionary team. He's sending him away because of the importance of communication. Isn't that interesting? So there's moral support, there's prayer support, there's communication support. Support them with logistical support. Look at chapter 2 and verse 25. 2 verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary. He's already talked about sending Timotheus. Now he's talking about this guy Epaphroditus. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Wow. This guy was a member of the church in Philippi. He had brought word. He had brought, as we're going to see, some other things to that missionary team. And Paul was thanking the church and informing the church in this prayer letter what a blessing Epaphroditus had been to him in the work of the ministry. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say that Epaphroditus was a powerful evangelist or a great public speaker. It doesn't say any of that. Look at the description of him again. I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. He that ministered to my wants. Every need that Paul had, Epaphroditus was there to solve and meet that need. Again, I don't know if he was a great preacher, but my point is the Bible doesn't say that. It says he was sent there by the church in Philippi to meet the needs of that missionary team. I kind of imagine, like I told you, I have a wild imagination, all right? I kind of imagine Paul going to a new city and Epaphroditus say, hey, Paul, you go out there, start evangelizing. I'll set up the tent, right? I'll get the PA system going. I'll get your lapel mic battery set up and everything, all right? I'll get everything set up for this meeting. I'm the logistics guy. You go out and do what God's called you to do. I'm going to take care of these logistical needs. Now, again, he might have been a preacher. He might have been a great witness. I don't know. But we do know he was there to minister to Paul's needs. You know, there are people in this church, and going to a foreign country scares you to death. But you know what? You could be an Epaphroditus here in the United States to help in assisting missionaries even on the other side of the world. There's a lady in Indiana who helps us with our taxes. Oh my goodness. Trying to keep taxes in two different countries, keep track of all that. I can't keep track of that. Big beautiful bills come up and tax things change and I have no idea what's going on over here, right? And it's a blessing to have a lady who's not called to be a missionary but says, hey, you do what God's called you to do, I'll take care of that. When we came back, my father went to be with the Lord just a few years ago, but the last 12 years of his life, he was battling with Parkinson's and all that comes along with that. And every furlough, I would come back and I would hug my dad goodbye and wonder if this was going to be the last time I would see him or where, what condition he would be in. And it came to a crisis for us. And I was struggling. And I'm like talking with Becca. And I'm saying, how? I'm the oldest son. How can I leave my 75-year-old mom to take care of my dad 24/7? How can I justify this? How is this? And I can remember talking to counselors and praying about this. And you know what? The counsel was, you keep doing what God's called you to do, and God will take care of your parents. And you know how God did that? Through Epaphroditus's in Hammond, Indiana, where my parents live. They attend a small church, Northside Baptist Church, and the pastor and the deacons in that church would reach out to my parents every week. Hey, Pat, Jerry, is there anything you guys need? Anything we can help you with? Physical, financial, anything we can help you with? There were neighbors next door, and they're believers. And they would say to my parents, you call us day or night, anytime. If your dad falls in the middle of the night, you call us. We'll be there immediately to help you, Pat. We'll be there to help. Epaphroditus's. They might not be called to ministry, but you know what? They're fellow soldiers in the work of the ministry. We could go on and on. Packing things up. We find out that Epaphroditus actually brought a care package of things to Paul's missionary team. We're going to see that in chapter 4 here in just a moment. And that may be something that you could do. You know, sometimes missionaries pack crates, and sometimes they pack containers, and sometimes they pack boxes. And there are essential things that missionaries need, and Epaphroditus could help pack those things. They could pack Bibles, and they could pack gospel tracts and other essential things like M&Ms and those things that we can't get on the field, all right? Those essential things, you can be a great help as an Epaphroditus packing up those things and sending them to a missionary on the other side of the world. What an encouragement that could be. Support them with communication support and logistical support. And then this one here. Turn with me to chapter 4 now, and then I'll open it up for questions. Chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, the very next church plant, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received, there he is, Mr. Logistics, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Giving to missions. Giving sacrificially, as this church did, because this was a church, we find out in 1 Corinthians, this was a church in deep poverty and great persecution. And yet they're sending care packages and love offerings to the Apostle Paul at great sacrifice. And Paul says, your sacrifice, these things that you have sent in this care package once and again are a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of God. This is a sacrifice well pleasing to God. And of course, this was financial partnership. A lot of times people think of partnership with missionaries, the first thing they think of is finances. But I don't think it's an accident that that's the last thing Paul mentions actually in this prayer letter. He talks about moral encouragement. He talks about prayer support. He talks about communication support. And he talks about Epaphroditus, Mr. Logistics. And he talks about finances and this support that this church sent once and again unto his necessity. There are many things we could talk about. We could talk about re-entry and helping missionaries when they come back on furloughs, and there are many things that we could talk about, but I'd like to encourage each of you to consider how you could partner well with your missionaries. Of course, that involves getting to know them, right? Getting to know the flags of the country, the names of the country, maybe the city where they're in, the names of their children, some of the things that are going on in their lives as they write those prayer letters. And by the way, I was very encouraged Saturday during the men's prayer time. Some of the prayers I heard lifted up for specific requests. That encouraged my heart. That informs me that you all you know your missionaries. You want to know your missionaries. You want to know what they're going through. And what a blessing that is. But maybe out of all these different things we've talked about, there was one area where maybe you never thought about that before. One just came to my mind. There's a lady in Alabama, in one of our supporting churches in Alabama. And when she prays for us, she has a 3x5 card with our name at the top. And then she writes the date. That's all she writes on that card. The date that she prayed for us. Another date, and another date, and another date. And she fills that card front and back with nothing but these little dates. And then when we come back on furlough, we come through her church, she gives us those cards. Whew. I'll tell you what, that's encouraging. You know where those cards are right now? They're in my office desk at the office in Decatur, Alabama. And you know what? If I ever need a little encouragement, I can take those cards out and know that there's a lady there in Alabama praying for me and my family. What a blessing that is. These are just simple ways that you can partner well with your missionaries. We know that there are many around the world who need the gospel. How are they going to hear? Well, they need a preacher. How are they going to preach except they be sent? And I want to encourage us to send our missionaries.